blessing of the giver on the day of Arafah, where he's blessed this day and he's given excellence of these rewards that Allah has been giving for the rest of mankind. So this Yawm al-Arafah is part of those 10 days of Zilhijjah. As I said, it culminates with Eid al-Adha, with the sacrifice. Allah chose Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to show the extent of Tawheed and oneness of Allah through Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah could have chose any other big event, any other time, any other momentous time too, in the life of any other Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, or in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But he chose in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the event that we call Eid al-Adha. And of course, it is like a system, it is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that before the culmination of the event, there are some things that happen. Like in the month of Ramadan, which culminates with Eid al-Fitr, as a day, as a night, as a big night and big day, but with worship. Similarly here, the 10 days of Zilhijjah, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the fasting and etc., etc., and the rewards that you get through that, those 10 days, some historians, some fuqaha, some muhaddithin write that these days are either equal or greater than the days of Ramadan. However, that's not the point. The point is Allah has made these days of splendor, these days of gratitude, these days of where there is merit upon merit, and there is reward upon reward. So, Allah chose this day or these days and chose the day of Eid al-Adha in the very name of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah. And when the name of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam appears, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam in the journey to Mi'raj went to see the prophets upon prophets, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and like that when he reached to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, every prophet that when he appeared at that point, that prophet, let's say for example, Isa alayhi salam, came to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning that he is the seal, he is the Khatam al-Nabin, he is the Sayyid of the master of all the prophets alayhi salatu wasallam, that they came to meet with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when he went to the point of where he went to meet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasallam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam went to meet with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was very old as it is described, and he went to meet with him. This also shows us the respect for an old person. Of course, there are lots of other explanations, but we're not in that point. But what I'm saying here is that this is what happened at that point in time. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and the event that we are talking about, the sacrifice that we're talking about, is no simple matter. It's not just a matter of, going to sacrifice. Sacrifice can be made at any time and everywhere. But this sacrifice, this qurbani as we call it, this adhiya that in Arabic that we call it, is a very, very special occasion. But how does it come to that special occasion? You need to understand. So, the wahdaniyat, the oneness of Allah, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and all the events or the examples that are given and all the spectacular moments that we are mentioned to us, the great moments that are mentioned to us, that it is delivered upon delivery upon delivery by speakers and we read, they all touch you with wahdaniyat, the oneness of Allah, the tawheed. Similarly, here, at this point, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to go to Makkah Mukarrama and take Hajra with and with Jibreel alayhi salatu was in the form of a human to go and lead them to Makkah Mukarrama. The journey was long. The journey was very, very difficult. It's not like the journey you find today. The travel was so difficult, and here you find that the three of them are going. Of course, the fourth was Ismail Elisa. And so, the four of them left for Makkah Mukarrama. Days upon days and nights upon night, there was a journey. But the point I want to come to is, in the land of, now this was from the very beginning or the inception, when this command was given, when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in his dream, and he knew that this was a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, wahdaniyat, tawheed, the oneness of Allah. The command and the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes on immediately. So he had to set that on that journey. No questions asked. That's the point I'm trying to get at. At every juncture, at every point, at every part of the journey, as well as this whole the occasion that took place, it was only wahdaniyat, only tawheed. There are lessons in all these things. So, his journey that took place went to a place that's Makkah today, known as Makkah Mukarrama. But at that time, as historians explain and describe this place, it was completely barren. Completely. If not, they were the mountains or the hilltops or the hills were all laid with blackness. You get those rocks that are like black. And there was no vegetation. There was nothing. It was completely barren. A country or a place where there is hardly any rainfall, you don't expect shade, you don't expect vegetation. Everything will be dry. And this is where the instruction given that you will now leave Hajra here. Again, it was the instruction of Allah. It was the command of Allah. Again, that brings us to something that we have to repeatedly tell ourselves, repeatedly remind ourselves. It is not the Qur'an-e Kareem, the entire Qur'an-e Kareem from the beginning to the end is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. That's to remind who is Allah. And why? And for who? So everything is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we do for the pleasure of Allah. Everything we do, so we're reminded. So this journey, one way is a reminder of the oneness of the command of Allah. Then to leave the wife, Hajra, and to leave the little baby, Ismail, was not something that is simple. Here we have a situation where if we have to leave our child and the mother of the child at the hospital for the night, what fikr we have. This is an hospital. That's a barren land. Has nothing. No food. There was no command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Jibreel to leave a basket of food. There was nothing. There was no water. So, but this was the command. And that is the wahdaniyat. That is the command that we have to learn by lesson. That this that we're talking about Eidul Adha, we're talking about sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? This entire episode, this entire event that unfolds before us is something to do, or all together to do with the wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson. It's not just the matter of the knife going to, no. And then to leave and to depart, just like that. Of course, Hazrat was worried, leaving the baby. And so she, I'm not getting into the details of the entire story, but, and she's wondering that they are departing and they are leaving, and she must have followed a few steps and realized that, look, they are going on their journey and that's why they've left me here. And so they depart. Her being there, imagine in this barren land with nothing and nobody. What must be the skies saying? What are you doing in a land like this? What the stars in the night must be saying? What are you doing in this land? What are the mountains going to say? Where did you come? This is not your place. But that was the command of Allah. And that's how, when she saw that Ismail is crying, and she says, now I have to look for water. I have to look for something to feed the child. And so she went to Safa, Marwa, and you know what had happened there, and then the Zamzam water that came up. Okay, let's we go a little forward. Come after 1-2 years, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was commanded once again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the journey. And by, it was not 1 year, but it was maybe about 5 to 6 years, and to come and see the little baby in Makkah Mukarramah. And by that time, the baby was Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam, was already probably about 6 or 7 years old. The oneness of Allah, that how can you leave? But a command, this is the point I'm getting, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will do this, and you will do that. And balance of it, you leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah ta'ala formulates this, how Allah ta'ala makes it happen, how Allah ta'ala keeps, that is Allah ta'ala's work. So this is a lesson again in our head. So we remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took the excuse from the mother, Hajra, to say, I'm taking the child for a little walk, to play with the child. But that was the turning point. She didn't know, obviously. She wouldn't let him out of the sight. And because of what the journey she has gone through and what she had gone through altogether, from the time when she was there at the very beginning till the 6 years, you can imagine the mother wouldn't let the child out of her sight. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has already been commanded by Allah that you will take the child to slaughter the child. Now again, wahdaniyat of Allah, the oneness of Allah. You are commanded. And this is the love that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hey Allah, you command and it's done. And so to sacrifice your only son is not something that is by the way. And so to take that child, and at one point it was said by Ismail alayhi salam that place me on face down. Because if you see my, now this is also wahdaniyat of Allah, the oneness. That child, imagine, is saying that, oh Allah, my father, that if you see me face to face, then you would probably feel not to slaughter me. And so he faced him the other. But anyway, as the story goes on, but at the end of it, it's about the wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the whole beauty of the oneness of Allah. That Allah, by the events that taken place, by the stories that we read, and by all that is that surrounds Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, is the wahdaniyat, is solely for the pleasure of Allah, that the command of Allah, this is what has transpired. One, keeping that in mind. Secondly, is at Hajjatul Wida, the final Hajj, the Wida Hajj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahabas, of about 40,000 of them that gathered on that Hajjul Wida, that Arafah that we spoke about, that so virtuous, such a place. Allah accepts the dua of a person that is there, as well as the dua of the person who is out also any part of the world on that day. So here, in front of the Sahaba, any message to us, the ummah to come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that I have completed for you. I have completed for you and I have perfected for you the deen of Islam. So this is the last point, that everything from your Sharia to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire life, as it is mentioned and as it appears, is complete. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ إِذَا And I now, the choice, my choice is that you are, the deen of Islam is what you must follow. So, this message, you know what the Jews said to Umar radiallahu anhu. They said, if we receive this message, then we will make this day a day of joy. We will celebrate. It's so powerful. It's one of those ayats of the Quran Kareem. Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenak. One of those powerful, that if Allah Ta'ala did not reveal any other ayat, then this would have been sufficient for us. So they say, we would have made this a day of joy. So Umar radiallahu anhu says that no, to us there are two Eids for it. The Eid Yomul Arafah, one Eid, in a way to explain to them how joyful we are and how Allah has blessed us, and then the day of sacrifice. So we've already enjoy this two times, these 2 days that Allah has given us, that blessed us. So this that was given on this occasion becomes like the very start and the beginning and the end, which this ummah is so blessed in these words that we're raised to that position of khairul ummah, the best of the ummah. And no other ummah has been given this or these kinds of wordings that has been given. So the whole Sharia has come to us in a plate, basically. And we are hand-fed. This entire ummah will benefit from this. Coming back to my last point, we all know that we probably read the newspapers and maybe some clips and the rest of it. And so we hear of the war that is taking place in India and Pakistan. Again, it's something that we have to, we've experienced a lot in the last decade. We've seen a decade or two that we have seen what has happened in the Middle East Actually, it's from the spring, Arab Spring, that we're talking about. And we've seen the bloodbath. We've seen so much of massacre. We've seen so much of killing. We've seen all these things before us. What has happened to the Palestinian people? What has happened in Gaza? What is still happening there? And, you know, it's like unfinished. The job is unfinished according to those, the Yahud, the Jews. And the job is still unfinished in the world to come. They've got a bigger plan. So there is this that people were talking about quite in the year, about 1 year, and there was debates upon debates among scholars about what is Ghazwa-e Hind, the war of India. With who? With Pakistan. Obviously, yeah, we've seen that there are two nuclear countries. Anywhere in the world, if there was a conflict, it was a nuclear power and a non-nuclear. But here there is two nuclear powers. With the negotiations and the, everything that is taking place now, you know, you've got to be at the helm of it, and we've got to hear all the time what's happening here and what's happening there. But the point I want to raise, just briefly, is this, that we spoke about oneness of Allah. We spoke about Tawheed. What that tells us, that we, our belief, that ours is one Allah. You are Allah. Whatever you decree, that is what is going to happen. Whatever Allah decreed happened in the Middle East, happened to the Palestinian people, happened to all the areas, all the, that is what Allah decreed. We can't go beyond that. Yes, we're supposed to make dua. We're supposed to give our whatever we can give, whatever we can aid. That's all the sideline of. But the actual thing that we have to remember, because people are asking, but you know, the help of Allah, the, never go there. Never ask that question. Allah, that is Allah's domain. It's not our domain. We don't ask these questions. What Allah willed will happen. Even if you faltered anyway, and even if you were incorrect in whatever you did, but it happened. It's happening. So this conflict between these two Indo-Pak continent, it's going to, whether it's going to happen more than what's happening or how it will end, we don't know. But the conflict is there. Ours is, we make dua that Allah save the Muslims. Allah save all the Muslims throughout the world. This conflict wasn't now. It's just that it has escalated. They have had three wars already. They have been having skirmishes all the time. I mean, that's unrecorded. So that's been happening from that border to border. But this is now escalated. So the point I'm getting at is, whatever Allah decreed, we mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's oneness of Allah, Tawheed, that everything happens by the will of Allah. It will happen. And so this is our belief, that whatever happens, I'm not saying that leave it like that and, no, you're not a runaway. You are going to make dua. You're going to try whatever, in whichever way you can help, whatever it may be. That's humanly possible to do. But at the end of it, do not despair the rahmat of Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Because Allah knows what is to happen. Allah knows how and why it's going to happen. And that's not our domain. So this is one, I wanted to bring this in, to say that the conflict is, the conflicts may take place all over the world. This may just be the start of it, because the Muslims have become their target for maybe 50 decades. So this is now hotting up for them, and that they've got their own plans. Whether we can challenge it or we can't challenge it, but ours is like this, that if however we can defend ourselves, we will defend. But we always will be the winners. Because why we will be the winners is because even if we are killed, we will be killed in the path of Allah. So that is where the difference between us and them. So whichever way it is, if you have to give your life, you have to give your life. And that's already happened in the time of the British, that so many of them had given their lives. In the war that between Pakistan and India, at the time I remember was, I don't know which date it was, but when the youngsters asked the army that whether they can strap themselves with bombs, and then they asked the ulama, will this be suicide? And then go under the tanks, and then they went. That is how they saved themselves in Pakistan. They said, no, that's not suicide. That's way how to destroy and whatever means it is. So we will use all that. But at the end of it all, Allah knows. Allah is Hazir, Nazir of everything. So don't despair. Whatever happens, happens by the will of Allah. There are people dying every day more in the accidents that we see than anything else. So what, we're going to stop driving and we stop moving and so on? No. So these things will happen. Whatever Allah decreed will happen. So therefore, I'm not, what I'm saying here is that we started off with the Tawheed and the oneness of Ibrahim alayhi salatu and his example that gave birth to the sacrifice that we are going to do very soon. But it was his wahdaniyat, his love, the Tawheed. And so we should also build this Tawheed. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.